You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale,
this is so funny to
they
me.
Say.
He was you picked this? Snow, this is like a Christmas song. You're like, you know, I really want to hear it today. I really want to hear Frosty the Snowman. It just would get me in the mood to talk about the Chiefs offense. I really want to hear about Frosty.
You had to find a word that describes the Chiefs offense. Frosty is definitely a word. Cold.
All right. It's The Drive. Carrots and Rob here. It really threw me off. I don't know what songs Rob's going to play, so it just threw me off. All right, so we're going to take calls in the 5 o'clock hour, and that's not really something we do very often on this show, but I'm going to tell you why. Now, I have done this job long enough where the text line, we joke and have fun, but the text line doesn't really have any effect on me and my mental well-being. Like, it is what it is. People say nice things, people say mean things, people say funny things, informative things. Like, I've just done this job long enough that the text line just doesn't bother me at this point. I look at it as like entertainment. But sometimes there is a text that gets through. This is a text, Rob, that I can honestly say I went home and I thought about this text. The text said, it was yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour. I saved it because I wanted to talk about it today. It says, wow, Cry Dot, every time the Chiefs win, you cry and complain like they lost. Can we at least have one day out of the five to celebrate the win before you piss all over Chiefs and their fans? And I was like, that's not what I did today on the show. Like, I was really taken aback by that. Like, that's what you guys think I do to the Chiefs every day on the show? I was getting kind of internally defensive about this, right? So I was thinking about this, and I always try to use the numbers and the facts and the data for why we talk about the things on the show the way we talk about them. Over the first six games, the Chiefs scored 30.8 points per game. So that was the six games leading up to the Tennessee Titans game. In the last six games, they have scored 19.6 points. So that is a 10-point difference. I don't have to tell you guys, that's pretty substantial. Typically, you want to start playing your better football at this point, start to gain continuity, this, that, and the third. That's not what their offense has done. Now, I would say why I think it's important and it's a big deal is they seem to think it's a big deal. The quarterback of the team is saying, I'm frustrated with the way that we're playing. We're not executing at a high enough level. I'm leaving some things on the field. I'm not playing up to my capabilities. That's interesting to me. So it got me thinking as I was kind of going over this text in my mind yesterday. I'm like, well, I want to get how you guys feel about the offense. Maybe I am in the minority when it comes to their offense. So I thought of this question. Rob, I want you to answer it. We asked Nate Taylor the question. We asked Bink the question. We asked Mitchell Schwartz, and I'll play their answer. I am blank right now about the Chiefs offense. And I would say, to me, the answer is puzzled about the Chiefs offense. I'm puzzled for a couple of different reasons, Rob. Number one is, I would say Andy Reid's second best offensive skill, aside from getting the most out of the quarterback position, has been the ability to create weapons. Think back to his time in Philadelphia. They didn't always have Pro Bowl wide receivers. I know they had T.O. and they had Macklin and they had DeSean Jackson, but there were a lot of Jason Avant years in there, a lot of Freddie Mitchell and Greg Lewis. They didn't always spend first round big picks on running backs, but they were able to make it work with Deuce Staley. They were able to make it work with Brian Westbrook. He's always been able to sort of manufacture weapons. And if you play in this offense, this meaning Andy Reid's offense, we're going to see the most that you can provide offensively. I'm looking at this team right now, and I'm asking myself the question, who is getting that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes touch? Who is getting the same touch that I think Chris Hogan got? Where Chris Hogan was a productive receiver solely because he was on the Patriots. Chris Hogan wouldn't have been good if he was on pick random team in the NFL. But I play with Brady. I play with Belichick. They'll figure out a way to make me a productive player. Rob, we all watched Monday Night Football, right? Yesterday. It didn't matter if it was Damian Harris or the Stevenson kid. We're going to run for 100 yards with whoever's out there because I'm going to scheme us to do it. I'm looking at their offense right now, and aside from Darrell Williams, there has been no offensive player that is better today than they were week one. You can't say that about the defense. We can name how many guys, Rob? 7, 8 guys that have improved defensively over the course of the season. Who on the offense, and I'm talking skill position-wise, not offensive line, I'm talking Creed Humphrey. Is Hardman any better now than he was earlier this season? Is DeMarcus Robinson any better? Is Byron Pringle any better? Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire better than he was? So there's just not that normal offensive progression that I would kind of expect for this team. I'm also puzzled, and we'll play what the other guys had to say. I'm puzzled because it's not like we ever see it from the Chiefs. They have scored more points on the first drive than any team in the NFL. So on the first drive, we see the old Chiefs. Their first drive on Sunday was beautiful. They ran 12 plays. They only had 2 third downs. It was easy for Kansas City. Nothing the rest of the game was easy for them offensively. Against the Cowboys, who are pretty banged up defensively, right? They looked really good that first drive. After that, wasn't a whole lot easy against the Cowboys. The last month and a half, it hasn't really looked easy at times for the offense. So I mentioned this yesterday, and I'll bring it up again. On defense, they had noticeable changes to fix things. They had an issue with Daniel Sorensen. They replaced him. They needed another pass rusher. They traded for it. One of their linebackers was hurt. When it comes to their wide receivers, this is the group. When it comes to running backs, this is the group. When it comes to tight ends, this is the group. What's going to happen that changes the course of the offense moving forward? So my word, Rob, would be puzzled. I want to hear your word. I'll then play what Nate Taylor. I actually haven't heard Nate Taylor's answer, so I actually want to hear what his answer is. And then we'll go to the phone lines, and I want to hear from you guys. I am currently blank about the Chiefs offense. And I'm just curious. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe people are optimistic, hopeful, think I'm overreacting. I don't know. I would love to hear from you on how you feel about the Chiefs offense. 913-576-7610.
First off, despite not having the traditional hits, this conversation is brought to you by our friends at Santa Fe Auto Sound, okay. Kansas City's home for car audio repair since 1967.
Santa Fe, my bad. I apologize. I got going.
I got you, Santa Fe. My word is concerned because we pulled the numbers earlier today. This Chiefs offense is regressing. The numbers bear that out. You mentioned them earlier, and we pulled them. The first 6 games of the season, this Chiefs offense is averaging nearly 30 points per game. It's the 2018 Chiefs, the 2019 Chiefs, 2020 Chiefs. You roll the ball out there, you score 30. We're going to flex our muscle. We got Patrick Mahomes. Come get us. The last 6 games of the season, when everyone tells me it's money time, Bill Parcells has ended on council after Thanksgiving. Sean Barber's told me a dozen times, doesn't count until the end of the season. They're scoring 19.6 points per game. It's money time, and your money players aren't making plays. Another reason I would say I am concerned on top of the numbers is, you mentioned that first drive scoring number. That means Andy Reid, when he's in the lab, and he's building the offense, and he's scheming and tweaking and things, he goes out there, and he goes out and dominates. The rest of the drives, they're meh. You want to know why? It means their talent is not overwhelming people anymore. That or they're not adjusting to the adjustment, which is extremely concerning when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So my word for the Chiefs offense, I am concerned about the Chiefs offense.
All right, I want to play what Nate Taylor had to say, and we'll go to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. So we asked Nate Taylor, I am blank currently on the Chiefs offense. Here's what Nate Taylor of The Athletic had to say.
I am bullish on the Chiefs offense for a few reasons. They still have the best quarterback in the AFC, if not the entire league, in Patrick Mahomes. I think at some point, similar to the turnovers, the drops will be reducing or decreasing as the season goes along. So I'm going to count on a Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce, an explosive player who might be a Hall of Famer himself in Tyreek Hill. And I'm going to be bullish on the coaching staff to have the right plays and enough of them, whether that's creative, schematic, that's going to allow the skill position players to get separation and score touchdowns and just be really effective in the red zone. Some people may be more concerned about the team, but I am bullish because I've just seen this before where they kind of say some of their best plays and their best players play their best in January.
So that's Nate Taylor's word. This is my question. I don't have the answer to it. Specs always, they don't ask questions you don't have the answer to. I don't have the answer. I don't know if the Chiefs have the answer to it. Where are their explosive plays coming from? You remember the Chiefs used to be sort of a high-powered chunk play type offense? And I do think one thing that we've seen pretty consistently this year and why I think their offense has sputtered a little bit is it's really hard to consistently go down the field against NFL teams 9 to 12 play touchdown scoring drives. A lot has to go right in those scenarios. You can't have a 2nd and 7 holding call that makes it 2nd and 17 or a false start that turns your 2nd and 6 into a 2nd and 11 and now you have to overcome it. I actually think that the drops are a little bit overblown with this team. Now, I think they were a problem in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And I think it showed up again and now it's, oh, they got to catch the football. Tyreek hands are better than what they looked like. I'm not the hugest Byron Pringle fan. I think you know that if you listen to the show consistently. I think he's better than what he looked on Sunday. But I just would use puzzled. I gave you the numbers yesterday. No one listening would think or considers Pittsburgh to have a good offense or a productive offense. Over the last 6 weeks, Pittsburgh has scored more points than Kansas City. That's with a quarterback who is broken down, a running back in Najee Harris, who is averaging 3.5 yards per carry, and they don't have Juju Smith-Schuster. Your offense is light years ahead of where Pittsburgh's is, and they have scored more points than you the last 6 weeks. So my word would be puzzled. What was your word, Rob?
Concerned.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you guys, 913-576-7610. I am currently blank about the Chiefs offense. Josh, go ahead, man.
So, first couple things. As I like Nate Taylor's word of bullish, that's kind of where I'm at, is hopeful. But another thing is I'd like to know that Steelers stat, how much of that is in garbage time? But to your point, I'm hopeful because we've seen them do it before, but we obviously see them do it the first couple drives of the game, and then it's like they get timid, and I think it's coming from Andy Reid. He gets timid with his play calls, and then you see Kelce, Hill, Pringle, Hardman, when he plays, or Wynn Sprints, what you call him, he's getting drops. I feel like they just get super timid, but I'm also hopeful because you've seen them do it, like you said earlier in the show, the same as when they were all-time great in 2018, 2019. So I'm hopeful because we've seen them do it before.
I agree with you, Josh. I appreciate it. I think a lot of Chiefs fans are in the same boat that I would put Josh in. We've talked about the timid nature of the offense. Excuse me. We talked about the timid nature of the offense yesterday. A team that's confident in their offense doesn't handle the final minute of the half the way that they handled it. Handing the ball off 2 times to Darrell Williams is effectively 2 kneels. He is a career 3.7 yards per carry guy. You can't expect on back-to-back runs that those are going to be successful plays. You just can't. They weren't successful plays. They got 2 yards on those two runs. And then it was 3rd and 8, and then they tried to pass it. And they ran a screen play, which is hyper-conservative, and then they had to punt. I would say a team that really believes in its offense goes for it 2 on 4th and 2 from the 8-yard line. They had a chance to really sweep the leg against the Broncos and chose not to sweep the legs. So I would agree with the word timid. I thought they did play very timid, and I think a team that's a little bit more confident in how their offense is playing, I think, is a little bit more aggressive in those situations. Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Peanut, you called into the drive. Hey, Peanut.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Man, I know y'all going to crucify me for this, man, but I'm going to say confident. Now, here's why. A lot of people don't talk about the forcing injury. I believe that was going to be our offense this year. He was going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage, mainly by linebackers and like that. But once he went down, I believe that they just have to change up their offense, and they're just trying to do it. You just said it's hard to keep going 12 plays with an offense that's not used to doing it. The drops is what I think, the drops and the penalties. I think all of that is very fixable. I believe that now that they see that, they will get in that, and I believe that I'm confident that our offense will be back to scoring at least 27 to 30 points a game when we get that situated.
I appreciate the phone call. I'm not going to crucify you for that. I want to take you guys' phone calls, and I'm not saying you got to feel the same way that I feel about the offense. Like, that's the point of Sports Talk Radios. We can all feel very different about them. If this offense was dependent on Jody Fortson, they got more problems than I think they got. I like Jody Fortson, but he had 4 catches for 42 yards when he got injured. Their offense can't be dependent on Jody Fortson. That can't be the end-all, be-all. I think what happened, Rob, if you want to know like how I think we got to this point with their offenses, I think they misevaluated Mecole Hardman. And I'm not even talking about the draft. Like, you drafted him, it's whatever. This offseason, I think they banked on development from Mecole Hardman that has not happened. They really tried to get Juju Smith-Schuster. They missed on Juju. And I think their plan was, we've got enough in this wide receiver room, we can make it work. And I think they're sitting there right now and they realize that they misevaluated that. They misevaluated bringing back DeMarcus Robinson for the 18th time. And maybe they would have been better served going to sign somebody like Josh Reynolds and using that money elsewhere. And I think they banked on a massive step forward from Mecole Hardman, who is now in the doghouse. I'm not saying that Mecole had to live up to being the 56th pick. I'm not saying that. But if Mecole was a consistent, productive receiver and an occasional deep ball threat, it would radically change this offense. Radically change this offense. I also think the running game, but I don't want to talk to Rob about the running game because you know what Rob's going to say. Like, I don't want to have that conversation with Rob. Rob never wants him to run the football. I kind of think it's important. But I think they misevaluated Mecole Hardman and thought that he was going to be their number two receiver. They operated and played that way for the first 6-7 games of the season, and it ain't working the way they thought it was going to work. And now they're a little bit stuck at the position. And this offseason, they're going to have to really go out there and find one more productive offensive player, one guy that they really trust. And I think that's a massive issue right now with this team. Let's go to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Dave, you called into the drive. Hey, Dave.
Hey, this is the first time I've called your show.
So, well, thank you.
I guess my word would be resigned. And the reason that I'm resigned to this being the offense that you know, we can expect is I'm a KU basketball fan, so I watch a lot of college basketball. And one of the guys that I see all the time doing, you know, color commentary on games is Fran Fraschilla. And he has a saying about college basketball teams that said, you know, over the course of a long season, you know, a team is going to have a couple of great games and they're going to have a couple of stinkers. And the team that you really have is in the middle. We're 12 games in. to this season at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs will play 12 games. You've got, on the one extreme, you've got the Raiders game. Best game they played all season, where they looked like it was 2018, 2019 again. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the Titans game and the Bills game, where, you know, they just stunk it up. And they looked like a Todd Haley team. But they're neither of those teams at this point. They're somewhere in the middle. They're the teams, you know, the offense is what we have seen three out of the last four games, where they score early and then they go, and I think the numbers are they go 51 minutes without scoring a touchdown, then they go 44 minutes against the Cowboys without scoring a touchdown after their first touchdown, and then on Sunday they go 52 minutes. I think that's the offense. You know, they're somewhere in the middle between the Raiders game and the Bills and the Titans. I think what we're seeing is this is the offense. It is what it is.
I agree with you, Dave. That's I struggle, Rob, with they're averaging 19.8 points per game the last six. I think their offense is better than that. Like, if you play that over the course of the season, that means you believe that the Chiefs have a bottom 10 offense in the NFL. I don't think that. But I also am, to his word, resigned. I don't think that they're going to score 30 consistently the remaining five regular season games and however many playoff games they play. It could be four, it could be three, it could be two. I don't know how many playoff games they're going to play. Let me see how the rest of the season shakes itself out. But I am resigned to the fact that I don't think that this offense has the ability to just sort of go out there and hang big numbers on any team they play the way they have in years past. And I would say, Rob, I am resigned to the fact of last year, we saw teams were unable to stop Hill and Kelce in the postseason. Both of them played really well against Cleveland. Both of them played really well against Buffalo. I don't think you're getting 270 yards combined in a playoff game from Hill and Kelce because defenses aren't letting you do that anymore. You might get a really good day for one of them where Kelce has 120 or Hill has 120. The other one gets 50 to 70 yards. And you better hope that one other offensive player emerges and plays at a really high level. And we'll see if that can happen in any individual game. The reason why I think their offense is interesting and a talking point is if you're going to consistently score under 24, it leaves you vulnerable to lose to any team in the AFC. Right now, they have scored 24 points. Over these last six games, they have scored more than 24 points one time. If you're going to score 22, Indianapolis can beat you. If you're going to score 22 or 19 points the way they did against Dallas, Buffalo can beat you. Tennessee, when they get healthy, can beat you. Defensively, they are playing at an elite level. But offensively, you leave yourself vulnerable in today's NFL if you're going to consistently score under 24, just by the way the game is and how easy it is to pass the ball and score and do all of those things. Let's go back to the phone lines here, 913-576-7610. Hey, Luke.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I agree with all the points that were just made, C-Dot. And then, you know, I'd like to kind of start with I'm iffy, and here's why. If the Chiefs' defense shows up and, as you just put it, is elite, then our offense is going to be great because they're not going to have to score 30 because we're not going to be able to score 30. And I had an argument with my brother and my brother-in-law, Daniel and Matt, with my brother still not speaking to me now, before the season ever started. I told him, if we do not have a viable third option, we will not be the same high-octane offense going forward. And they argued top five wide receiver, top five tight end. Well, I mean, look at the targets those guys are going to have to get. And now you're seeing them dropping balls. Hands are tired. So, and you know, the defense is now our third option. As long as the defense is hot, Chiefs will be hot. And I got no problem with the offense while the defense is hot.
I appreciate the phone call, Luke. I just think that we've seen in Kansas City enough how difficult it is to expect to win. I mean, they're going to have to go on the road for one of these games, right? Like, the odds suggest that they'll probably be the 3 or the 4 seed. Just based on the tiebreakers that they have, they will be the 3 or the 4 seed. So to go to the Super Bowl, more than likely, you're going to have to win 2 road games. It's hard to do that if you can't consistently score 24 points. And as of now, they can't consistently score 24 points. I want to play for you guys what Mitchell Schwartz said about this question. I want to play for you guys what Jay Binkley had to say. We're throwing this out there. I currently feel blank about the Chiefs offense. My word is confused. We see a stretch in which the Chiefs offense looks like the offense of old, and then we'll see their offense go through really long stretches where they can't consistently put the ball in the end zone. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the extra point. Someone on the text line says, why are you letting Patrick Mahomes off the hook? I think Patrick Mahomes has largely been the same player that he's been the last couple of years. I think what you're seeing is the situation around Patrick Mahomes has changed. And I would say, Rob, that I used to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I've become a lot more situation, situation, situation. It's really hard to find the guy. Like, God didn't make a whole lot of truly franchise quarterbacks, right? But you can go to and win a lot of games with a good quarterback, good coaching that you put in a good situation. I would say in terms of offensive development, I think the Chiefs have let Patrick Mahomes down a little bit. Like, I've seen people say, well, Brady doesn't have the weapons that Mahomes has, or Rodgers doesn't have the weapons. Yes, they do. Name another contending team in the NFL that only has 2 offensive players that you trust. Like, Rob, I know you're not the biggest run the football guy, but you trust A.J. Dillon, right? You trust Aaron Jones, right? So that's two. You trust Devontae Adams. You trust Randall Cobb on a 3rd and 6. Is he a player you feel comfortable throwing the football to? Would Randall Cobb be an upgrade over any wide receiver they have not named Tyreek Hill? So, sure, Patrick Mahomes has two better weapons than any other quarterback in the NFL. But once you go for 3, 4, and 5, I would say he has the worst weapons of any team that you feel can genuinely win the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about Indianapolis. Write down the teams that you think can actually win the Super Bowl and then go player for player down the line and tell me what team has fewer weapons than he does. So I'm not saying Mahomes is playing at a 2018 level. I think that would be, but if you look at most of the numbers, most of the numbers tell you that Mahomes is playing well this year. He's not far and away the best quarterback in the league the way he typically been, but Mahomes is playing good enough at the position that you can win with him playing at quarterback. His two interceptions, I mean, your top three wide receiver just has to be better with the football than he was. So I'm not saying that the quarterback is without blame. Mahomes is down the list for me in terms of problems right now with their offense. I think this text is a good point. CDOT, the longest rush that the Chiefs have this year is 33 yards. It's from Tyreek Hill, their wide receiver. That's the real problem. We have no big plays from the running game. They don't have big plays, period. It goes to my point earlier. It's really hard to consistently go down the field on 10 or 12 play scoring drives. What made the Chiefs offense so good in 2019, 2020, and 2018 was their ability to score touchdowns on 5 to 7 plays or quicker than that. You remember the Chiefs used to score touchdowns in 3 minutes. It felt like fast break football. That's not the way that they consistently score over the course of games. Like, I bet you if we looked up, and it'd take a long time, average number of plays in 2018 on a touchdown scoring drive and average number of plays now, I'm going to guess it's 5 or more plays higher than what it was then. That's a significant difference. That's more plays that a hold can happen. That's more plays a drop can happen. That's just more margin for error where we see some of the mistakes start to come in.
How often in the last 3 years or 2 years, whatever, did we hear the comparison between the Golden State Warriors and the Kansas City Chiefs? Because the thought was, a run is always coming. They're going to make one big play, the defense will get a stop, and then the offense is going to turn on, and you're not going to stop them. The ball is rolling downhill. It's over. We saw that with the Warriors forever. They get a stop or two in a row. Steph hits a three. Clay hits a three. Steph hits a three. 9-0 run. Blink of an eye. Timeout. That was the Chiefs for a while. Mahomes makes a big play. Crowd comes to life. Defense gets a three and out. Quick lightning flash drive, 14 points in the blink of an eye. Other team is wobbly. They maybe punt again. They maybe score three. It doesn't matter. The offense isn't being stopped. Do we ever see that anymore? Have we ever seen that comparison come back to life in 2021? Outside of the Browns game, has there been a moment where like, oh, there's that Warriors-like Chiefs offensive run that everyone talks about? No. It's been Marty ball, except for the throwing. 3 yards and a cloud of dust. This is Nebraska football at its heyday. They're just doing it on slants and screens. The offense is not explosive right now. Everything we are saying indicates that. So the fans who have called in said optimistic, excited, confident. I just disagree. So when you say they're longer drives, they're grinding you out, the offense isn't doing what you're saying, there's tons of evidence to support that, and I think the Golden State days are in our rearview mirror.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. I believe that's Laszlo. Hey, man, how's it going? Hello?
Can you there?
I got you. My bad.
Sorry about that. First of all, thanks for taking my call, first-time caller. And I know you've been asking a question about, you know, the blank on Chiefs offense right now. And I said Mahomes. And before I make that point, I also wanted to say I agree with you when you said, you know, about Mecole Hardman, that Chiefs were actually looking at and kind of highly looking into him to step up the big way in his third year right now. And part of their offensive problems were stemming from that I believe in the first few games they were counting on him. They realized that's not panning out. The last couple of games, I think they're trying to incorporate Pringle into it a little bit more, and that didn't pan out. And I'm honestly thinking that this game, next game or two, we're probably going to see Robinson stepping up, or at least they're trying to incorporate him a little bit more as they're progressing through the season on that. But my initial point of why I think, why I said Mahomes on Chiefs offense, obviously everything starts around him. And during the first part of the season, it just seemed like he was never really settling down. He didn't trust the offensive line. And currently right now, obviously, he's settled down in the pocket a little bit more. But, you know, you've been mentioning about them not having those, you know, big plays. And I think that's where it's coming from, where Mahomes is actually not, you know, extending those plays. They're not getting out of the pocket enough to where when he first started here, when he was a starter, that was his, you know, the big deal about him, where he would get out of the pocket, extend the play, and then hit Tyreek Hill or Kelce. They've been talking about their chemistry. I think that's the part that we're missing right now. He's not stepping out of the pocket, not extending those plays, and we're not seeing those big plays or their, you know, quote-unquote chemistry between the three of them altogether.
I appreciate the phone call, Laszlo. I hear what you're saying. Rob, do you think everything's okay with Kelce? Like, from a physical standpoint? Like, he's healthy?
No. We heard earlier in the year he's battling, I forget what the injury was. He was on the injury report a couple times earlier this week as a full participant. But it doesn't look like something's right. And the fact the defense's game plan every week, it just beat him up, I don't think is helping whatever the thing is.
I do think the teams have made it a point to be much more physical with Kelce than they've ever really been before. He doesn't run as free as he typically does. And I think what you're sort of seeing is, what really helped Kelce eat over the middle of the field was the threat of the over the top. Like, you couldn't cover both. And if you're going to eliminate the plays 20, 25 or deeper on the field, and you're going to keep everything in front of you, they're just isn't the room to run and sort of operate the way that Kelce always has. Like, there's always really been space and room over the middle of the field for him to kind of work. There just isn't really that room. I mean, Kelce hasn't scored a touchdown, or he has one touchdown the last seven games. So, like, the touchdown numbers are just kind of down right now for him and where he's at. It's a little bit down for where they are. We'll take a couple more phone calls coming up on the other side, and we'll get to the extra point. We got college basketball today. Missouri plays. Kansas plays. I don't know if K-State plays, but I'm sure it'll be fun if they play. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
We'll go back to the phone lines here in just a bit. I want to address the conversation regarding Bill Belichick and yesterday's game plan, because I've seen some pushback on, well, Belichick's not a genius for that. I don't think he's a genius for yesterday's game plan. But what I do think makes Belichick different than every other coach in the NFL, every other coach is, I don't really think, at least when it comes to the game plan, there's much of a point of pride. I think Belichick is, I'm going to figure out the best way to beat you. And that's going to change on a week-to-week basis. I didn't watch it, but I saw the clip later from Aqib Talib. And Aqib Talib said, basically, I'll paraphrase Aqib Talib, Bill and I are cool. Bill basically lets you do what you want to do, as long as you come in focused, know your responsibility, and ready to work. I think the Patriots are the only team in the NFL that could have won a game the way that they won it yesterday. I think they're the only team. We're not throwing the football. Our plan is going to be, we're going to run the football. You know we're going to run the football. And we're going to bet that over the course of 60 minutes, you can't stop it. We're going to run. We're going to play defense. We're not at any point going to deviate from what we are. I don't care if it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 5, and obvious, that's not what we're doing today. I think he's the only coach that is disciplined enough to consistently run that game plan. So I don't think he's a genius by any means. Like, I don't think yesterday was an ingenious game plan. I think it was a level of commitment and discipline and coaching that other teams and other coaches don't have. The NFL tells you to basically play one way now. And I know Buffalo was still running the football, but Josh Allen threw it, what, 24 times yesterday? Like, Buffalo was still trying to throw the football yesterday. Bill was not interested in that yesterday. Bill's really good. And I think this season has sort of opened up a lot of people's minds that he's really good at this even without Brady. Like, I always hated the conversations of who's more important to it. They're two really, really, really good people at their job. Like, Belichick's the best at this. That Patriots team is a 5-win football team. They got him, though. They had a corner win defensive player of the year. They then traded that corner in the middle of the season, and they're about to have another corner win defensive player of the year. Like, J.C. Jackson will win defensive player of the year this year. Belichick's just really good at this. Before we go back to the phone lines, Rob, are you watching this man in the arena? Is it not wild to anybody else that arguably the greatest and most accomplished American athlete, let's say male American athlete, I'm not here to debate Serena or Simone Biles with anybody, the most accomplished male American athlete is doing a 10-hour documentary and no one seems to be interested in it? Have you seen anybody talk about the Brady documentary? Number one, I don't know why this is coming on during the football season. Like, why is this not on in June? Why is this not on regular ESPN every Tuesday in June? Would you rather watch random baseball game or this documentary? I'm assuming you'd rather watch this documentary of a random baseball game. Why is this not on in the summer on ESPN? Every Tuesday night, we're showing this documentary. It's 10 hours. It's 10 one-hour episodes that is releasing on ESPN+.
Counterpoint, because I agree with you, no one's talking about it. No one's. I only see the commercials during ESPN games. Is there any buzz, any hype for the John Madden doc? That comes out in 3 weeks?
I think so.
I think there's more, but there ain't much. There's like a smoke, but there's no fire. So I don't know what's going on with these major networks, but they don't seem to promote their stuff very well. Because I think if we polled the average fan and said, hey, do you know about the John Madden doc? The average fan would be like, no. Especially Chiefs fans that aren't on Fox very often for games would be like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they're putting it on Christmas Day. I don't know why ESPN and Fox are bad at promoting their properties, because both those should be great things, and there's no buzz. No
I'm
energy.
Excited for the Madden documentary. They have all the people who have been on the cover and him on it. I think it's going to be really, really good. Let's go back to the phone line. So we were asking this question earlier today on fill in the blank. I am blank currently on the Chiefs offense. We asked Nate Taylor. His word was bullish. We asked Mitchell Schwartz. Here was his word.
I would say disappointed because, you know, we have the expectations of what we'd like them to be, what we've seen in the past. As you said, all those pieces, you know, the O-line's played pretty well in the hole, best quarterback, one of the best tight ends of all time, one of the, you know, three best receivers in the NFL the past 5 years, best offensive mind, like all those things, and it's just not translating. And, you know, as you said earlier, that first drive looks awesome. It's like, all right, we came out of the bye. This looks awesome. Like, they got their mojo back. You know, we're going to see them roll. And the rest of the game, it's just not there.
So that was Mitchell Schwartz earlier today. So that was his word, was disappointed. We asked Binkley the same question. I am blank about the Chiefs offense. Here's what Binkley said.
Constantly waiting, you know, with that guy sitting around looking at the clock, you know, having a drink and figuring out what's going on. But that's what I would put it. It's just puzzling to all of a sudden think about the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they a defensive team now? Have they flipped from being an offensive to a defensive team? Because they've certainly been that the last four-game stretch, last five-game stretch. This is what they've been. I was a little bit perplexed about how they came out after the bye week. I thought it would be a little bit different for the Chiefs. And we know how good that script works out at the beginning, but can they carry the script over? I do believe analytically this Chiefs offense is still in a good place, but the eye test would tell you it's certainly got a problems.
I want to hear from you guys, 913-576-7610. We got like 4 minutes left in the show. We can take a couple phone calls. Allen, you currently feel what about the Chiefs offense?
You say Allen?
Yeah.
I'm excited about the Chiefs offense. I think our best football is ahead of us. I think Sunday night's game was an aberration. It was windy. It was howling wind. Do you live here in Kansas City?
I do live in Kansas City.
Did you hear the wind? My gutters got cleaned out of leaves. The wind was blowing so hard. It wasn't a passing game. Do you see what the score was of the Patriots and the Bills?
I did watch it.
Game. It was windy. Bill Belichick's plan was three passes for Mac Jones. Run it down their throats because of weather conditions.
Allen,
so I'm excited.
Allen, really quick, how about the Cowboys game? I mean, because it was a nice day for that Cowboys game, and they scored 19 points against the Cowboys.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. We haven't played our best football yet, but we know it's in our team. We know we've got it. Our offense has done it before. You know, Travis Kelce, yeah, I think he's been injured. It's a neck injury, and you can see they keep tackling him by grabbing their arm around his neck, trying to put the hurt on him, and I think that's been a problem for him most of the season.
I appreciate the phone call, Allen. Allen is excited about the Chiefs offense.
Because of your weather. You love weather games now. Big no, weather game guy. You loved last night. You got fired up.
That was a one-off. Like, tomorrow, they might make a really good Western movie. Doesn't mean I love Westerns, but they made a really good Western. I wouldn't be interested in all my games where there's 57 rush attempts, but yesterday it was enjoyable. I really enjoyed last night's game. I thought it was fun. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was intriguing. You know what game that was kind of like that wasn't very fun? Do you remember, this was maybe, Rob, like 6 or 7 years ago. Remember they super hyped up LSU and Alabama?
Oh, and it was 1-2?
And then they played, it was like a CBS night game. You know, they never play at night. So, like, normally the CBS game is at 2:30, and they moved it to 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And this was supposed to be the game of all games. That game was boring. I didn't find that game fun. I think Tyrann Mathieu was still playing when that game happened.
I think Les Miles was still the head coach at LSU.
Yeah, that game was terrible. Like, that game was terrible. I don't think this game was terrible. All right, we have time for one phone call, Rob. I'll let you pick between Ernest and Josh. I feel bad that we can't take both of them, but, you know, I'm taking Ernest. He's been on hold longer. Hey, Ernest, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing all right, C-Dot. Hey, listen, I'm just simply stuck when it comes to the Chiefs offense. I'm hopeful that they can turn it around, but when you look at what they're dealing with Kelce and the way he's playing, Tyreek and the way he's playing, I think the two mistakes that we made, we pushed Sammy Watkins out of here like he had done nothing for the team. And if Sammy's on the field, those two high safeties, they're dropping down. Tyreek is exploding, and Kelce is running all over the place. The other thing, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me.
Hurry up, Ernest. We got like 20 seconds left. Hurry up, Ernest.
Okay, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's a bust.
Okay, Ernest, I wasn't. I gave you 20 seconds, and you out here.
Good job, Ernest.
That's how you're going to use it, Ernest? That's how you're going to use the 20 seconds? Ernie, that's how we're ending the show on that energy. Ernie. Who's KU playing tonight?
UTEP.
I hope they win.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? we make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.